From the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz, you are listening to Earth First Radio. Stay tuned for No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music.
Chainsaws killing the trees, something everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run, but there's nowhere to go when the job is done. How can we stand by while this all takes place? We've got to stop this inhuman race.
Welcome to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Each week I bring you No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front lines of the environmental movement. In the news, you'll hear about corporations, government agencies, and people who are killing the planet, and about folks who have the detailed information for saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, phone numbers, fax numbers, email, or web addresses, so please get a pencil or a pen and some recycled paper to write down the information, because this isn't couch potato radio, it's activist radio, and I'm asking you to take down the information and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, and making phone calls when you aren't out in the woods, up in a tripod, or a tree sit, or locked down in that dragon at the road blockade. If you do have information, news, comments, or announcements for Earth First Radio, please keep your pencil handy and listen for the contact information toward the end of the show. As always, we start off with announcements, and these are announcements about action and activists around the world. We start with Kenyan dam protester arrested and shot. A Kenyan activist working with dam-affected people has been arrested, beaten, and faces criminal charges for holding meetings and trying to share information about the Sandu Miriu hydroelectric dam in southwestern Kenya. Orgwang Zodera of the African Water Network was protesting the dam on environmental and public health grounds on December 26th when the arrest took place. This was his third arrest for protesting the project. On the day of the arrest, Odera was shot in the arm by police, but the bullet was aimed at his head and meant to be fatal so as to silence him, a provincial police officer of Nyanza province told Odera. Quote, they blew the door and forced the already profusely bleeding man out of the car. He was rained on with punches, kicks, and blows to the protest of community members who were present, according to a statement by the Africa Water Network. Odera was released on $1,272 bond with surety of a similar amount. The activist has been charged with trespass, resisting arrest, incitement of the public against the dam, and publication of a false document, a letter to the government of Japan expressing community objections to the dam. The Sandu Miriu River, one of the six major rivers in the Lake Victoria Basin, drains 3,470 square kilometers in the western part of Kenya. The river originates in the western slopes of the Mau Escarpment and flows down through a narrow gorge penetrating the Nyakach Escarpment. It then meanders into the Odino Falls before entering the floodplains of the Nyakawari, where it drains into the Winnem Gulf of Lake Victoria. KenGen plans to divert water from the Sandu Miriu River into a million cubic meter reservoir. This water will then be led into the main powerhouse via a 7.2 kilometer tunnel. The environmental effects of the dam and diversion of the river have not been adequately addressed, according to the Africa Water Network. The hydrological and ecological formation of the river will be greatly disturbed when it is eventually diverted. The generating company is clearly avoiding these issues by saying these are the responsibilities of relevant government ministries, the group said in a statement. Wildlife, especially colobus monkeys and hippopotamus, depend on the river water, will be forced to seek a source of water at the lower populous Nyakawari Plains, disturbing their habitat. The aquatic system will be disrupted with far-reaching repercussions, issues the group says KenGen is avoiding. The local community is heavily dependent on the river water for domestic and agricultural use. Diverting the river will cause a serious water deficit affecting over 1,500 households, says Odera. KenGen has made no plans to provide alternative sources of water. The project has so far displaced 1,000 households through involuntary resettlement. And the Earth Liberation Project has learned that recently animal rights prisoner Andy Stepanian of New York was transferred back to Riverhead Prison. If you'd like to send a letter of support to Andy, his new address is Andy Stepanian, 8/8/78, 100 Center Drive, Riverhead, New York, 11901. Again, that's Andy Stepanian, Stepanian, 8/8/78. That's the that's actually his date of birth, but they use that as their prisoner number, I guess, in New York. The address, 100 Center Drive, Riverhead, New York, 11901. And Andy is on a hunger strike, but is now receiving some food as a vegetarian. However, he's being limited to raw fruits and vegetables. The Umpqua National Forest of Oregon has issued a press release recently concerning the Snog timber sale. Since early last summer, citizens have been holding off the clear-cutting of this old-growth forest in the Diamond Lake Ranger District, including two tree sit protests, one in Unit 2 and one in Unit 11. Here's the news. We have won a partial victory. This morning, the Forest Service announced it will withdraw four units, including Unit Number 2, but the Forest Service has not offered to withdraw six units, including Unit 11. The tree sit in Unit 2 is very happy. The tree sit in Unit 11 is hanging in there. The entire sale totals 180 acres. Last summer, about 50 acres were clear-cut. Another 55 acres have just been withdrawn. That still leaves 75 acres of old growth still at risk of being clear-cut this coming summer. If you want to see some pictures of Snog, you can go to www.umpqua-watersheds.org/UNF/Snog. That's snog.html. Once again, that's www.umpqua-watersheds.org/UNF/Snog.html. And the ELF has been busy this last week in the communique sent on January 15th. Here it is. During the early morning hours of January 14th, members of the Earth Liberation Front paid a visit to Mellows Construction Corporation in Miller Place, Long Island, New York. Activists proceeded to douse an articulated loader and a tool-laden pickup truck with 8 gallons of petrol. The fuel was chased by improvised torches, causing both vehicles to be engulfed in flames. All businesses, large or small, which participate in earth-raping industries will continue to be targeted as part of the ELF's ongoing campaign to evoke economic damage on those responsible for urban sprawl. This action was done in solidarity with Long Island's Andrew Stepanian. Stepanian is a very prominent member of the Animal Defense League and is now serving jail time for a crime he did not commit. This is a pristine example of how law enforcement agents are unable to catch the real perpetrators and instead target vocal above-ground activists. The Earth Liberation Front supports the release of all political prisoners and an end to unjustified police repression. Every night is Earth Night. ELF. And in Grass Valley, California, logger Mark Kubich has pleaded no contest to misdemeanor criminal charges of constructing skid roads on slopes steeper than 50%, not installing water breaks on an access road, and cutting too many trees in a watercourse protection zone. He was fined $2,800 and will spend 30 days in the county jail. His brother is fighting similar charges. I certainly hope they keep them locked up for a long time. And in news from California, the Navy has extended a deadline for bombing comments. In a story written by Kathy Tanner of the San Luis Obispo County Tribune, people have additional time to make comments about a proposal to have supersonic Navy fighter jets practice bombing at Fort Hunter Liggett and have flyovers in an area that could include King City, Big Sur, and Hearst Castle, all in Central California. On Thursday, Undersecretary of the Navy Robin Peary agreed to extend the comment period for at least 2 weeks beyond the original deadline. The plan includes having about 900 flights a year. The Navy Undersecretary was responding to pressure from U.S. Representative Sam Farr, a Democrat from Monterey, who believes the Navy has done a poor job of telling people about the plan, which he opposes. Quote, "I will continue to insist the proposal not go forward," Farr said from Washington on Friday. At the congressman's insistence, Peary also agreed to hold a town meeting on the proposed, quote, "General Doolittle training target area," said Farr's press secretary Betsy Lordan. The date and location of the town meeting have not yet been announced. Among those who hadn't heard directly about the issue was Kirk Sturm, superintendent and museum director of Hearst Castle. That's a state park, not a peep, he said. We'd like to look at the exact Navy plans to assess what impact they'll have on the monument. If on its face we think it will affect us here, we hope we can encourage them to do something to mitigate the effect. The base has not had significant aerial target practice since World War II. Although the plan is for Navy pilot training, Fort Hunter Liggett is an Army base. Sturm has had his dealings with the Army brass there for some time in hopes of having a partnership between state and national park services at the historic Hearst Hacienda on the base. It was built by William Randolph Hearst after the original ranch house on the land burned down in 1929. I have found the Army at Fort Hunter Liggett to be very responsible and easy to deal with, Sturm said. They have had helicopters that fly over the castle. Once we notify them, Fort Hunter Liggett is very quick to correct the situation. They've been good neighbors overall. So you have until approximately the 1st of February to contact the Navy about those that bombing practice range. And Rocky Mountain National Park seeks public comment. The National Park Service has recommended closing Rocky Mountain National Park in Colorado to all snowmobile use except for one trail, which is approximately 2 miles long, that provides access to U.S. Forest Service land west of the park, popular with snowmobiles. The park also proposes to close a 16-mile-long portion of the Trail Ridge Road, which has remained open to snowmobiles. Last year, the agency released a draft environmental assessment outlining different management alternatives for snowmobiles in the park. National Park Conservation Association is in support of the Park Service's preferred alternative, that is number one, which would permanently close Trail Ridge Road and maintain the closure of Summerland Park Snowmobile Trail and the Bowen Gulch Access Trail. Take action, even though the snowmobile rider just passed by Congress prevents the National Park Service from enforcing a snowmobile closure now. The National Park Service can proceed with collecting comments and evaluating snowmobile management alternatives. Here's your chance to make your voice known. Your comments can make a difference and will be accepted through February 27th. Go to www.npca.org/take_action/action_alerts. And you can send your comments from that webpage. That address again, www.npca.org/take_action/action_alerts. If you don't have web access, send your comments in support of Alternative 1 to Superintendent, Rocky Mountain National Park, Estes Park, Colorado, 80517. That address is Superintendent, Rocky Mountain National Park, Estes Park, Colorado, 80517. Your comments are due, as I said before, by February 27th, and please support Alternative 1. If you'd like to send email, which is not as effective as a letter or webmail, you can send email to romo_superintendent@nps.gov. That's romo_superintendent@nps.gov. And if you have any questions about snowmobiles, contact Kay Collins at npca.org. That's K-C-O-L-L-I-N-S at npca.org. Coming up is the National Conference on Organized Resistance, and they're going to be meeting in Washington, D.C. the weekend of January 27th and 28th. There'll be 30 workshops on counterintelligence, activist gatekeeping, prison industrial complex, food politics, nonviolence, and, of course, the all-encompassing anarchism. Speakers include Ward Churchill, Cindy Milstein, Rod Coronado, Julie Davids, Mark Goldstone, many, many others. There's a one-time, one-cost registration fee for all workshops all weekend. It's only $10. You can scrounge that up, I'm sure, on your way to Washington, D.C. If you want to look at the schedule, register, find out about rides or housing, or anything else you want to know, www.organizedresistance.org. That's www.organizedresistance.org. All right, Call to Action is hiring for their spring 2001 tour. Here's a chance to make a difference by riding in a bus for a few weeks. Of course, you'll need to do some outreach and education on topics like the Fair Trade Area of the Americas, the Citigroup campaign, forest defense, race and class, prison industrial complex, gender, nonviolence, direct action, legal media, and Racist Economics 101. The tour begins in Portland, Oregon on February 16th and ends in Portland, Oregon on May 1st. You are responsible for being in Portland, Oregon by February 12th. And they're asking you to stay with the tour through May 1st. There is approximately an $800 per month stipend available, subject to change. If you're interested, there are 6 openings, or at least there were at the time of this email. Women, people of color, lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgendered individuals are encouraged to apply. Visit the website at www.calltoaction.org and fill out an application or call for information. That's www.calltoaction.org or the phone number 503-804-9378. That's 503-804-9378. And, of course, the all-wonderful email, resist@calltoaction.org. I love that one, resist@calltoaction.org. If you're a resident of California and you'd like to look at a timber harvest plan, they're now available on the web at www.fire.ca.gov/resource-management and look for the THPs. That's www.fire.ca.gov/resource-management and a list of THPs in there. That's timber harvest plans for those of you who need to know that stuff. Here's another website. Forest Guardians has unveiled a clickable web map and searchable database of all the southwestern National Forest grazing allotments used by ranchers and banks as loan collateral. A 1938 policy change allowed ranchers to begin using grazing permits as collateral when seeking loans. This has enabled ranchers to borrow between $1 and $2 billion with a B bucks and has given banks a major financial stake in maintaining high cattle numbers in the West. Forest Guardians and other conservationists believe allowing grazing permits to be used as collateral in this way is bad public policy and may be illegal. The clickable map is at www.fguardians.org/escrowallot.html. Once again, that webpage, www.fguardians.org/escrowallot.html. And here's more information about snowmobilers. Snowmobilers illegally riding in places they do not belong is a growing problem, which is degrading wilderness areas. The machines disrupt solitude and quiet places and reduce secure habitat for rare species like wolverine, lynx, grizzly bear, and others. The Last Refuge campaign is working to document snowmobile trespass in roadless and wilderness areas in Montana and elsewhere to demonstrate the severity of the problem and pressure the Forest Service to increase patrols to catch lawbreaking snowmobilers in the act. Contact Adam at the Last Refuge campaign. His number, 406-542-7343. That's 406-542-7343. Or you can send email to ariss13@hotmail.com to report snowmobile trespass and or to obtain a fact sheet on the problem. Want to save rainforest and listen to music at the same time? Well, it's easy to do. Go to www.rainforestjukebox.org. That's www.rainforestjukebox.org. Every click counts, it says. This is one of those places where you click and somebody does something with money. Anyway, you get to listen to music while all that money is flapping around saving rainforests. Put together by the Rainforest Information Center of Australia, John Seed and those folks. Once again, that's www.rainforestjukebox.org, 40 bits of music. Some of it's really interesting, and it all goes to benefit jungle territory in Ecuador. Looking for Casey Neal or the Casey Neal Trio? Well, January 26th, you should look in Seattle, Washington, at the Bitters Company in Fremont. That's 513 North 36th in... Then on January 27th in Vancouver, British Columbia, at the Capilano College Performing Arts Center, Casey Neal will be opening for Mad Pudding. All right. That's where you can find Casey. And let's get into some straight news here. Outgoing Secretary Bruce Babbitt said Saturday that American people won't stand for ranchers forcing wolves and bison from public lands where they graze their cattle. And if the beef industry forces a confrontation, it will lose, Babbitt said during his final trip here as part of the Clinton administration. Livestock will not have priority, Babbitt told a crowd of about 75 people at the Mammoth Hot Springs Hotel. The grazing of livestock will and must be subordinated to the natural values, including the bison and the predators, who will and must have first place in the ecosystem. There are ways for livestock and wild animals to use the same ground, and it doesn't have to be either or, he said. If the livestock industry says it has to be either or, the choice will be made in favor of the wolves. and bison. His assessment was well received by a crowd of mostly environmentalists, park employees, and government wildlife managers. Todd O'Hara, Paradise Valley rancher, recently named natural resources advisor to Governor Judy Martz, wasn't impressed. "I think it underscores why we're looking forward to working with the new administration," O'Hara said. Babbitt said, "I'm toast in 7 days," but he suggested his assessment would remain valid beyond the inauguration of President-elect George W. Bush. 6 years ago, Babbitt helped carry crates containing the first 14 wolves to be released in the park. It was almost 1 year ago that federal courts upheld the reintroduction's legality. Those wolves, along with others captured in Canada and released here in 1996, have been breeding rapidly. It's now estimated there are between 164 and 169 wolves in and around the park, said Doug Smith, Yellowstone's top wolf biologist. They are running in 16 packs, and 7 packs have marked their territory outside the park. "The successful reintroduction of wolves and their rapid breeding is one of the highlights of his 8-year tenure," Babbitt said. Other highlights including adopting a plan to restore Florida's Everglades, enacting President Clinton's Roadless Initiative, creating many new national monuments around the West, and finding innovative new ways of implementing the Endangered Species Act. Although he has been widely vilified around the West, Babbitt is, quote, "a friend of the environment throughout the world," Yellowstone Superintendent Mike Finley said. Babbitt, 62, says he plans to write a book that draws upon his experiences to outline his vision of what the future may look like. And unfortunately, George Bush's nominee for the Secretary of Interior, Janet Norton, is hopefully finding it very hard to get in to be a secretary. Contact your senators immediately and have Janet Norton tossed out on her ear. She is no good for the environment. That is the opinion of Uncle Dennis, and I hopefully it's your opinion too. Then we got time for another short little news bit here. New Mexico old-growth timber sale has been appealed. The Center for Biological Diversity filed its second appeal against the Corner Mountain Fire Salvage Sale on the Gila National Forest. The sale would clear-cut 2 million board feet of ponderosa pine and Douglas fir on 340 acres, including 7,000 trees over 16 inches and 2,500 trees over 24 inches. Corner Mountain needlessly threatens the Gila's celebrated prescribed burn program, the most aggressive in the country, by logging an area which burned 2 years ago when the Forest Service lost control of a prescribed natural fire. And hopefully that appeal will go through. Anyway, we're going to take a little break here for some music, and we'll be back with more news after this break.
Across the frontier to your door. Encourage me to see.
Danny Dolinger off his CD, Rome Wasn't Burnt in a Day. Earth First Radio will be right back. Stand by.